Welcome to the official podcast of the Canberra Raiders.
So close to the Raiders. Kemper Parley would be an appropriate man to score. He's done it.
Brought to you by OAC Digital. Come join us as we go behind the limelight.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Limelight, the Raiders official podcast, thanks to OAC Digital. It's round 27 in the NRL and round 7 in the NRLW. Business end of the season approaching for both teams. Joining me on the podcast this week is Rosie Harrison. Hello, Rosie.
Hey, Ben.
And for the first time from the NRLW squad is Emma Barnes. Hello, Emma.
Hello.
Great to have you both on. Let's get stuck straight into it and go around the horn with all the Raiders news. We'll start with a couple of disappointing news items, Rosie. Season over for Josh Papali'i after suffering a bicep injury, had surgery on Tuesday evening, and unfortunately that means his season's over.
Yeah, really unfortunate news for Papa. He's going to be a big loss to the team heading into the back end of the season. Suffering that biceps injury in that Broncos game, he actually came back on and played a bit with that injury, so that was a huge effort from him. But yeah, he'll be a big loss.
Yeah, absolutely. And compounding things at the NRL judiciary on Tuesday night as well was the fact that Corey Horsburgh has also received a four-match suspension for a grade one shoulder charge. Now, people asking why he got 4 weeks for that tackle. It is his third or subsequent offence, so the grading, the amount of points that you get is compacted by that. So, unfortunately, it missed four games, and unless the Raiders make the GF, his season's over as well.
Yeah, another big loss, same as Papa. He's been in such good form this season. And, yeah, did that shoulder charge in that last minute, it's cost him.
Yep, we'll have a look at the game against the Broncos for both teams shortly. But let's talk about some good stuff that happened on the weekend. And, Emma, you're part of the NRLW squad, and was really nice to see three more players make their debut, which rounds out the top 24. Patesileo, Ella Ryan and Jess Gentle all debuting. Great to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. That was really exciting as well, seeing all those girls debut. And, like, yeah, that's our whole squad.
Yeah, 24 players. Can you believe it, Rosie? We're, 6 weeks in and of competition, and 24 of the players have all made their debut. So I suppose being the first squad in the NRLW, it's really nice to see all of those guys get an opportunity.
Definitely. And now they've all got some game time, they'll be better for it heading into the back end of the season. And, it was really nice to see those three make their debuts on the weekend. It was really special. They each got presented their jersey in the hotel room before the game, and it was a really nice moment.
Yeah, absolutely. NRLW home game this week on Saturday at GIA Stadium. Nice and early, 11 o'clock. So come along, grab your brekkie, grab your coffee and enjoy some footy. And then obviously the Raiders play in the NRL on Sunday afternoon at Shark Park. The equations for both teams at the moment, the NRLW team in the top four. They play the Newcastle Knights, who are right up near the top of the ladder. So a big top four clash this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Only 3 weeks left of the regular season for the NRLW team. And yeah, top four clash with the Knights, so keen for it.
And the Raiders, a couple of equations there. The simple one for us is win the NRL game on Sunday afternoon and we get a home final, and that, I suppose, would be the best outcome for everyone in terms of the Raiders.
Yes, definitely. We definitely want a home final, so that'd be really good. And, yeah, we just want to win against the Sharks.
Absolutely. We'll touch on that game a little bit later. Let's have a look at the NRLW review, the Raiders up against the Broncos. 40 points to 8 in favour of the Broncos in the end. But a great start to the match, Emma. Jess Gentle, she has got some wheels. Her run to the try line, she was quick and scored that first try.
Yeah, absolutely. She's probably one of the hardest workers all through preseason. And every training session she just puts in. So it was really good to see her get over for the first try.
Absolutely. Now, Jess is a school teacher. Rosie, and I'm sure the kids would have been pretty excited to see her run out on the weekend.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And she did such a good job. She played so well on that wing and, really happy for her.
The Raiders went out to an early 8-0 lead when Shea Robbins-Reddy scored from a drop ball from the Broncos in their in-goal line. And at that stage, the team looked like they were going quite well.
Yeah, definitely. We had a lot of the momentum after that second try to Shay, and she's actually, that's her fourth try in 6 games. She's been really really good on that centre spot. And yeah, we were playing really well and really matching the Broncos.
Trailing 10-8 at halftime after the Broncos scored 2 tries at the back end of the half. Rosie, you were there. What was the feeling like amongst the group at halftime?
Yeah, positive. We were all happy with the first half and, yeah, thought we could get it done in the second.
Broncos, though, Emma, had the momentum in that second half and they showed their experience and, like, players like Ali Brigginshaw, you know, had one of those games where she was just had a hand in everything and unfortunately we just couldn't halt the momentum.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, we did let a few mistakes go and they really capitalised on that and then just let the ball roll from there, so...
It was hot too, Rosie. The conditions probably played a part. It was the first time the team had travelled away together as a group where they had to, you know, fly away and stay and things like that before the game. So do you think that had any impact on it or are we just looking too much into it when it just comes down to the team performance on the day?
Oh, I think that was fine. The weather, and we've got a lot of Queensland girls in the team, so they're all used to the weather and the nice hot weather. So, yeah, I think just the Broncos were just the better side on the day.
Yeah, I think... Samima said in the press conference afterwards, I'll learn a lot from that game. And I'm sure, Emma, that's been the discussion this week, just about the things that you can be better at and how you can sort of limit those opportunities for teams when they start to get that bit of a roll on.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like heading into this week's game, it's definitely going to be mentally tough, I feel like, just to leave that loss in the past and really... You know, take forward the lessons that we learned at the review last night as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty of lessons to be learnt there. But the good news is that the Raiders still remain in the top four and are definitely in contention to play some finals footy. Moving now to GIO Stadium on Saturday night, we saw the Raiders up against the Broncos. The final score, 29 points to 18. Probably not a true reflection of this contest, Rosie. A huge start to the night. The crowd was on their feet and paid wonderful tribute to both Jared Croker and Jack Whiten when they came out for the run-on.
Yeah, massive crowd, 19,500 people turning up to pay tribute to those two players. And it was really special to see them both walk out with their families and kids onto the field, probably maybe for the last time at GIO Stadium. So, yeah, it was really special.
Yeah, some positional changes. Ricky definitely kept everyone guessing right to the final minute. The way that the team ended up running out was that Jordan Rapana was at fullback, Seb Chris on the wing, Jack Whiten started in the centres and Matt Frawley started at 5'8". And that really looked to be paying dividends and Jack was getting some really nice ball from Matt and, you know, causing some issues for the Broncos' defence.
Yeah, definitely. I thought he did a really good job in the centre and Jordan Rapana has been really good at fullback the last few weeks, so it was tough to move. So it was, yeah, good to see him back there. And then Seb returning in his game from his hamstring injury on the wing.
That's right. The Broncos scored early through Selwyn Cobbo, Reece Walsh floating one over the top for him to score. But the Raiders scored a really nice work play when Matt Frawley was able to cross after that beautiful little pass from Elliot Whitehead.
Yeah, I thought Elliot had one of his best games of the year. He set up that try and Nick Kotrick's try as well. And, yeah, Frawley was there on the spot to finish it off.
Talking about Nick Kotrick, I thought his past two performances have been probably his best of the season and we're starting to see Nick get back to that form that we know he can do. And he scored a beautiful individual try. He had a lot of work to do to get through that defensive on that edge and score in that corner and... it really showed that his confidence is building.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. He's had a great last few games and got that ball off Elliot Whitehead and then, yeah, tiptoed down the sideline and sort of beat Walsh on the inside and then scored. So it was really nice to see.
The second half, Hudson Young scoring there just before halftime, you know, really put the Raiders in the contest. And you felt going into the Sheds as though it was still pretty evenly poised at the moment, at that moment. And either team, you know, wasn't really on top of the other one.
Yeah, I thought we had some great momentum heading into the halftime and it was almost a shame that we had halftime then as we thought we could have kept the momentum ticking over. But, yeah, it was anyone's game in the second 40.
Absolutely. I mean, the Raiders took an early penalty goal to go out to that 20-18 lead in the second half. But no doubt the turning point of the match was Jordan Rapana going to the sin bin. Now, we've seen similar incidents this year go unpunished in terms of sin bins and Jordan went there. So, it really did shift momentum to the Broncos because we had to defend a man down and we also had to have, guys change positions and move around to try and accommodate that 10-minute break.
Yeah, I thought it was a really tough call, especially like a penalty would have been sufficient, I think, and the fact that they scored that try anyway. But, yeah, just the losing that momentum and just, yeah, the shifting of the players into different positions definitely was costly.
The other big talking point from the game was towards the back end and I think there was only about 5 or 6 minutes left on the clock and 24-18, game still in the balance. And Hudson Young was penalised for an escort off a short dropout by the Broncos where Tom Starling ended up with the ball. And, I mean, that really cost us the opportunity to be in a really good field position. And then Reece Walsh going down and kicking the field goal, it sort of took all the wind out of the sails.
Yeah, definitely. Another crucial call. Could have gone either way, but we've seen that call not be penalised before in lots of other games. But, yeah, it's was a tough call.
Yeah, Reece Walsh then scored again to give them a 13-point lead. And probably one little highlight to finish off was Taps's hit on Reece Walsh. Good lesson for Reece there that the play's never dead. Make sure you don't try and wind the clock down from 20 seconds, otherwise you're going to get whacked.
Yeah, it was a great hit. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, absolutely, and so did the crowd there at GIO Stadium. We'll leave that one behind, though, and we'll move on now and have a chat to our special guest. Our guest this week is Emma Barnes from the NRLW squad, and Emma joins us for the first time on the podcast. Emma, tell us a little bit about your journey into football. How did you get into rugby league, and what sports did you play growing up?
Growing up, I did like gymnastics, cheerleading, like the typical, all that sort of thing. And then played touch, and then like all my family played footy. My two sisters were playing. My little sister played when she was like, the little playing with the boys, and then my older sister was playing. And then, yeah, I think just always being at the club, like in and around the trainings, I just thought, why not give it a go? And then I started playing at Beanley Juniors, under 13 girls. And then, yeah.
So you're one of how many siblings?
Two. So I got two older sisters. No. I got one older sister, one younger sister. So I'm the middle child.
So you're the middle child. And you all played footy. So you obviously grew up in a footy mad household then. Tell us a bit about the influences there.
Yeah, so Dad played. Mum even played for a bit for Beanley Pride. And, yeah, it was weird, like always training and late night dinners and, yeah.
Just typical footy family.
Yeah, yep. Pretty much.
Absolutely love to hear that. Now, you were signed by Darren Borthwick for your performances at the National Championships earlier this year. What was your mindset going into that tournament, and did you even have NRLW on your radar at that stage?
No. Well, it was my last, like, under-19 competition, like, for the year, so really just wanted to give it everything. And then, it was kind of, like, it wasn't really in my mind because at that time, like, all the teams were pretty much had all their signings. They had, like, one or two left. I had no idea that I would be the last signing for the Raiders. So, yeah.
Within a week, you'd signed an NRLW contract and made the move down to Canberra. Do you look back and think how crazy that time was?
Yeah, like, it all happened within, like, 4 days. Like, it was crazy and a bit of a whirlwind, but, like, wouldn't have it any other way.
And you follow that up, obviously you came down here, you did the pre-season with the girls and, you sort of would have had an indication of where you thought you fit into the squad. Did you have any expectations ahead of that first team being named, and when you found out that you were going to be in that team, what was that feeling like?
It was crazy. Like, I didn't think I would be playing. I was just kind of enjoying learning and being in and around all the girls and, like, it was definitely, like, wasn't what I was expecting. So, yeah, it was definitely, like, really exciting to hear that I was going to be playing the first game.
We saw the moment that Bortho called you into his office and told you that you were going to make your NRLW debut. We saw your special moment with your mum and dad as well. What were you expecting heading into that meeting with Bortho?
Oh, I don't know. Because I just flew, because we had a long weekend off. And I just got back to the airport and he said, can you come in? So I came straight from the airport and, yeah, I honestly don't know what I was expecting, to be honest, but, yeah.
You made a pretty tough decision in the lead-up to the season. You had the opportunity to represent Queensland at under-19s and you made the decision to forego that and come here and do the full pre-season instead. Looking back, do you think, as much as I'd love to have played in that game, it was the right decision for you?
Yeah, well, the way I saw it was, like, playing in the NRLW, that had always been, like, my ultimate goal, and I never thought I'd get that opportunity so soon to just be a part of a squad. So I really wanted to, you know, put my everything into that instead of going and playing in the under-19s Origin a week before round one. I really just wanted to give myself every opportunity to be available to debut for that First game.
And then you scored a, you played in the NRLW round one game against the Sharks and you scored a try with your family not too far away as well. That must have been a really special moment.
Yeah, well, I honestly didn't even see them when it happened, even though they were like right in front of me. But yeah, no, them, that was, yeah, that was special. So, yeah, yeah.
They had all the shirts with your face on it, didn't they? Is that right? Yeah, we've got a few photos of that, I think. That was pretty cool. Did you know that they were going to do that, or did you wait until after the game and you just walked over and saw yourself, you know, with all those photos?
Yeah, no. Because my uncle actually printed off the shirts and, yeah, he made all them up and I had no idea, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, I absolutely love that. We've seen that a few times this year with different teams and players and stuff. I think it's cool that the families get involved ahead of those big games. You talk about the highs and lows of footy. You know, things are going so well for you. You're playing NRLW, you scored a couple of you scored that try, you're having a great time. All of a sudden, you pick up a broken jaw in round three. Tell us about how that went and how the recovery's going.
Yeah, it was a weird one because it didn't feel broken. Like, the night after the game, like, I went and ate burgers and stuff like that. So I was eating fine. I felt fine. Went and did the x-ray, you know, had all hopes that it wasn't because it didn't feel broken. And then I got told by Doc before training and I was quite upset because, like, I felt fine, like, arms and legs still worked. It was just a little crack in my jaw and then surgery. And, yeah, recovery's going really well. I find out today if I can come back next week, hopefully. So, yeah, fingers crossed for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck with that. It'd be great to see you back back on the field again this year. Now, you also played in the grand final of the BMD Premiership earlier this year for Wynnum, Manly against the Burley Bears. Z and a couple of the other girls played in that game. What did Z say to you after the game?
Oh, I don't know if she'll remember, but like as we were saying, like you shake hands after the game. She said something about you should be, you know, you're worthy to play NRLW, something like that. And yeah, that really stuck with me.
What was that? What was it like hearing a player like Zahara, who's obviously, you know, represented at the highest level? She's just an outstanding leader. To hear those words when you come off, you know, from a grand final, obviously a bit disappointed that you didn't win. It must have, you know, picked your spirits up a little bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, you know, it was always tough playing against that Burley team because they've got such great leaders in that team and she's one of them. So, yeah, that was really special and it did really stick with me.
This Raiders side has so many experienced players like Zahara and Samaima Taufua as well. What's it been like learning from them?
It's been great, like, especially Mimes. She's really, I feel like, helped me out in a lot of areas, especially in my defence, which is an area I do think I need work on. So, yeah, it's been really good having those girls giving little tips here and there. So, yeah.
The team is so close as well. Like, it's so special to be part of the first ever Raiders NRLW team. How have you found it?
No, it's been so good. Like, especially, like, more than half the team is relocated. So, you know, we're all here, we're all doing it together and, yeah, it wouldn't happen any other way.
Absolutely. And as we approach the business end of the season, I'm sure it's going to get very exciting for Raiders fans across the board because, as I mentioned, the team right in the finals hunt and hopefully a couple more wins to round out the regular season and play some finals footy. GIO Stadium, Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m. kick-off. Nice and early for this one, Rosie. Top four clash, Knights-Raiders. It's going to be quite a contest out there in our home turf.
Yeah, definitely. Both teams have been in really good form. The Knights have won their last four games in a row and are sitting at the top of the ladder. And then, second ladder. And then, the Raiders girls have also been playing really good form. So it's going to be a really big clash.
Undefeated at home for the Green Machine so far. Emma, is that something that you guys sort of talked about, building that home ground advantage and that sort of fortress atmosphere for when teams come down?
Yeah, well, I mean, we haven't really spoke about it, but it definitely goes without saying, like, a home game for us is really special because the, you know, the whole state really gets behind us and, yeah, it's really to our advantage.
Absolutely. Tamika Upton at fullback for the Knights this week, Rosie, you know, she is a very dangerous runner of the football and I'm sure that the kicking game is going to be vitally important to try and limit her impact in this game.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be kicking to corners and away from her as much as we can. And she's one of the top try scorers in the NRLW and was the Queensland fullback this year. So she's very dangerous.
Yeah, the Knights are obviously the defending premiers too in the NRLW. And they've got a halfback in Jessie Southwell who's still just 18, but her ability to organise a team and run a team and and make an impact, Emma, is pretty big, and she is definitely a superstar of this game.
Oh, 100%, especially her age as well. Like, yeah, it's crazy the things that she's accomplished so far. And, you know, I've definitely got a lot of confidence out in our team in terms of shutting her down. So, yeah.
Yeah. Our halves, I believe, are, you know, one of the best, if not the best, combinations of halves in the game. I think the way that Ash and Zahara play together, they're both very, very good organisers. Defensively, both very strong. We've seen Ash put some of the biggest hits on of the season so far, and it must give the team confidence, particularly you in that position at hooker, that you've got wonderful talent on either side of the ruck to give the ball to.
No, definitely. Like, just their ability to, you know, they don't even have to say most of the time. Everyone just knows their role. That combination. They've been playing together for a couple of years now at Burley as well. So, yeah, it's really good to have that connection at halves.
Rosie, there's been some injury to the Raiders lineup over the past few weeks, and we've seen some players come in and out, particularly in the forward pack. So Darren Borthwick's named the same side for this week, so it'll be interesting to see if everyone can, you know, take the field and hopefully, you know, try and build some combinations after a bit of an interrupted run with injury.
Yeah, definitely. There's been a few changes in the lineup, but I think it's important to, yeah, gain some momentum and get those combinations going in the middle. But we've got a lot of experienced forwards, and as do Newcastle, so it'd be a really good matchup.
Yeah, that's right. Yasmin Clydesdale, Caitlin Johnson, Hannah Southwell, all experienced. But you look at that Raiders forward pack, Emma, led by Samaima. I mean, we talk about how good she is every week on this podcast, but the way that she leads that forward pack, and then you guys like Kete Matua and Holly May Dodd on the edges that are doing such a great job, and the go forward from, you know, Sophie Holloman, Grace Kemp and Tamea before she was injured. I mean, the pack's doing their job so far.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like having Mimes, she just leads by example, and then everyone else just picks up on the back of that. So, yeah, it's really good to have her and all the other girls, especially Grace Kemp. Her impact off the bench has been insane, and now that she's had a start, it's, yeah, even better.
So. Yeah, absolutely. The first start for her in her career, her short NRLW career last week, and she showed what she's got up front. So looking forward to that matchup in the forwards for sure. So don't forget, Canberra Raiders members, if you are a member, you can jump online and redeem your ticket, free ticket for this weekend's game. Otherwise, you can head to tickettech.com.au and get your tickets for this weekend. Raiders and Knights, 11:05 GIO Stadium. You can come in your pyjamas if you want, but we want to see a big crowd out there for that Viking clap at 11 o'clock. All right, Raiders, this game is huge, Rosie. There's no doubt about it. As I mentioned at the top of this podcast, the equation is simple. Raiders win, home final back here in week 1 at GIO Stadium.
Yes, that's what we definitely want. So we definitely want to beat the Sharks. And I think our team thrives in those big games and big situations. So it'll be really good.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things that can happen over the course of the weekend, but I'm sure that the mentality of the team this week will be to win this game. Obviously, that's such a huge advantage to have a home final. So no doubt Ricky Stewart will have them all fired up for this weekend. No Josh Papali, no Corey Horsburgh, but we get to see Hohepa Puru make his debut. We had him on the podcast earlier this year, and he talked about how that was one of his goals, and I'm sure this is going to be a pretty special moment for him and his family.
Definitely. Really happy to see him make his debut this weekend. He's been playing amazing footy in New South Wales Cup this year. The Cup boys are actually through to the finals this weekend as well, but his stats are amazing, and he's just, really good.
Yeah, the thing I love about Pep is that he just provides so much utility value. I mean, he can play lock, he can play hooker, he can play in the back row, he can play in the halves at a pinch as well. So he's a player that can come in and cover a number of positions, which in this modern game is very important.
Definitely. You don't know what's going to happen in those 80 minutes. And so it's to have him on the bench and able to fill in is going to be really valuable.
Raiders have elected to stay with the same backline which played against the Broncos, which means we'll see both Jack and Matt Frawley on the field at the start of the game. Jack will be at left centre and Sebastian Chris on the wing. No doubt they'll be looking to build on what they started last week and hopefully continue to build that combination.
Yeah, definitely. Another 80 minutes. I've done 80 minutes now, so that'll be better for it. And, just keep building that combination.
The Raiders have a pretty good record against the Sharks, but both teams playing for this exactly same advantage. They're both playing for a home final, and it'll be a sold-out Shaw Park and quite a hostile environment. So we're going to need to make sure that we get off to a really good start in this game.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to bring the crowd too much into it. If we start well, that's going to be super important. We beat the Sharks earlier this year, but it was a close one again. So looking forward to another close game, hopefully.
Sharks will welcome Nico Hines back in the team. He obviously brings a lot to them as the reigning Dally M medalist, and they're pretty much full strength. So it's almost as though the finals will come a week early.
Yeah, definitely. And like, just to, if we can win this game, it'll take so much momentum heading into the hopefully finals week one. So yeah.
Yeah, as I mentioned, it is sold out down there at Shark Park. So you can jump on to KO and also to Channel 9 on Sunday to watch this one. And hopefully those people that were lucky enough to scoop up some tickets for this will get there and get behind the green machine on Sunday afternoon. All right, we're going to wrap things up now with our podcast predictions. This is the part of the podcast where we try and pick something that's happening in the game this weekend. Can be NRL, NRLW or both. It's up to you. Rosie, what have you got for us?
In NRL, I'm going to go Joe Taufoni try. I think he'll really step up in the absence of Papa and Corey Horsburgh, and he'll go over. And then the girls, I think Madison Bartlett
for a try. She's a try-scoring machine, Maddie, and no doubt she can find her way to the line this weekend. Emma, have you got something for us? Can be either game.
Oh, definitely the girls to get the win.
Get the win, yep, yeah, absolutely. Sure. Big upset for that one in terms of the competition ladder, but that would firmly entrench us in the top four, so a good one there. I'm going for Matty Timcore to score in the NRL. I think he's due for a try. And Shay Robbins ready, just keeps scoring. She knows how to find the try line, so I'll go for that in the NRLW. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, thank you to OAC Digital for their support of the podcast. And a big thank you to our special guest, Emma Barnes, who joined it this week. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks for having me.
Fingers crossed we can see you back on the field soon. Rosie, thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Excellent. And thank you to everybody that's tuned in this week for Behind the Limelight. Thank you, and catch you next week where we talk about a Raiders home final in the NRL.